The Obama administration wants to avoid a repeat of the technical glitches it experienced with the rollout of healthcare.gov. Who can blame them? Now, one way is through a White House effort, the U.S. Digital Service, which Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller was talking about briefly. We're going to go a little bit more in depth now. The Digital Service will consist of a small team of experts that will serve as consultants to agencies on IT projects. Ariel Rabkin is a visiting fellow with AEI's Center for Internet Communications and Technology Policy. He tells Tom Temin why many IT projects fail in the first place.
The problem seems to be that the contracting model the federal government has just doesn't work for software, that you can't really buy software as though it was some commodity thing, that if you're buying some new program that hasn't been written, you don't know in advance what you want, and that means you can't specify it quite precisely, and that means you can't really contract for it well.
Because government is, in most instances, they're trying to buy commercial software and adapting it. But too often, I guess, they try to start from scratch because there's nothing commercially available.
Yeah, right. There isn't a private company that had, for instance, a health insurance portal designed for 100 million people. And there wasn't a previous big federal IT disaster with the FBI's virtual case file system, which was designed to synchronize case records across the FBI. And this is a big, ambitious development effort, not like any standard off-the-shelf thing. And they spent several hundred million dollars, and then it was a complete write-off. Now, this is a little bit shocking, actually, that you have several hundred million dollars, you have that must be hundreds of developer years of effort, and then you say, on second thought, never mind, it was all a waste.
So how do commercial operations that are good at it go about buying custom software?
So the first thing to say is that they don't buy it, they build it. And that mostly the way that the software industry is organized these days is that every company has a handful of things that they develop in-house and are really good at. That, for instance, Google really builds the search engine themselves. They do not contract it out. Google does not fool around with doing its own payroll. It buys an absolutely standard off-the-shelf payroll processor from somebody else. At least I believe Google does. Certainly everyone else does. Right? And that there are companies that have standardized, commodified products, right? Everybody just buys word processors from Microsoft or whoever. They do not try and customize them, or if they do, it's only to a very limited extent. That either you build it yourself or you buy it off the shelf, but you don't try and customize. And the reason for that is that you don't really know how hard a customization is in advance, and the software seller mostly does. And so this is a terrible market to be in because they have all the leverage. And when you do the development in-house, the thing that's really important and that the software industry has now learned to do is to keep the people who are setting the specification in very close contact with the people who are writing the code. And every few weeks, the developers release a new version to the test users and say, is this what you meant? Did you want this or did you want something else? And this means that you can sort of rather quickly adjust if it turns out that the thing you're building isn't the thing they wanted. And it turns out also that this means that if you're running behind schedule, you can pull the customer in and say which of these things is the least necessary.
So in other words,
you can't do that with a contract. You specified everything in advance.
So it sounds as if you're saying that the government needs to hire its own developers to work as federal employees.
That's what I believe, that is the only way you can do this. And that if the government wants software, it needs to write it itself. Some parts of the federal government do this, right? NASA has spectacularly high software quality. I think they have the highest software quality of any organization in the world. And it's developed by NASA engineers, more or less. And when there's private contractors, they're under very, very close supervision from NASA software people who know pretty exactly what they want. And you can do that if you're NASA. It costs several times as much per line of code as anything else, but it does actually develop good stuff. So this can work within the federal system, but mostly in sort of isolated islands that are shielded from the main body of federal regulation here.
So given the state of federal hiring and federal salaries, is it feasible, in your opinion, based on what you see in the private sector, for the government to go ahead and try to hire all those people?
When I talk to my friends who have applied to federal jobs, they have two complaints, one of which is the salaries are mostly far lower than industry, and the second, which is actually maybe even worse, is that the hiring process is vastly slower. That when you apply to a federal agency, they say, great, we'll get back to you in 6 months. And in the private sector, they get back to you in 6 days. Right? But the federal government is, without exaggeration, a factor of 10 or 20 slower. And people don't wait that long, right? This is a very, very competitive market for engineers. People are getting lots of offers rather quickly. They're not going to wait around for the federal government to make a decision. And that means that more than only paying people more, the federal government is going to have to move much more quickly in deciding who to hire. And that's going to be a rather painful reform. Right? We have very elaborate rules about federal hiring, and those rules turn out to be very painful when you're hiring developers.
And it's probably unlikely that the policy would change that quickly. And so what they've done is started the digital service model, where they're bringing in experts as a small cadre to assist the federal government. But you've written that's probably not a great model for the long term either.
My understanding of this is that the digital service is, I think, fewer than 24 people who are funded out of the executive office of the president, I think via OMB. It's very, very small. Their mission is to be available as consultants in case there's some agency somewhere in the executive branch that wants advice. It's good to have smart people available for advice, but that's not actually a substitute for having a large workforce able to do the work, right? That you can't fix this by having six experts who sit on F Street and then, you know, everyone in the executive branch comes to them and says, help us, explain to us how to do it, right? That you need to have a lot of engineers, and having six experts is not an adequate remedy. It's nice to have experts, but that just doesn't address the problem.
Ariel Rabkin is a visiting fellow with the American Enterprise Institute Center for Internet Communications and Technology Policy. And so that means you get back to the agile model. Is it possible for an outside or contracted workforce to work with a small group inside, say, in the program office, and still get an agile type of development done, given the reality of the budget and the hiring policies?
You can make it work if everybody wants it to work. So if there's a crisis and everybody says, no, this has to work, there's a lot on the line, sometimes it can work. Mostly people do want to get paid, and mostly contractors are in it for the money. And it requires really a lot of trust and cooperation, and it's hard to get that with a contractor where there's sort of an arm's length bidding process. Right? But if your contracting model is take the low bid, you don't get to pay a premium for the one you like and trust and get along with. And that means you're going to be doing Agile with people who are in it for the money. And Agile doesn't work that way. Right? The premise of Agile is we all meet every 2 weeks and discuss, and then we flexibly adjust our decision. And this is not a thing you will do well with people who don't want to be doing that. Right? That the nightmare of Agile is the developers say, no, your feature is too hard to implement, we're not doing that. And then you don't have any recourse as the user. Conversely, as the developer, the nightmare is the user comes to you and says, I demand the following 17 impossible things this week. And then you say, we can't do that. And then they say, tough, we demand it. And so there needs to be a lot of consent and negotiation in the process. And if you had a fixed contract up front, there's no more room to negotiate. You already agreed on everything. So I don't think you can do Agile with contractors most of the time.
And what about the requirements side? Often, as you say, in Agile, the requirements necessarily change, whereas in the fixed price contract or the way the government usually does it, they have a fixed set of requirements and then keep issuing change orders.
Yes, and then the change orders are fantastically expensive because once you've already written half the system, a contractor has immense leverage over you because you don't want to throw away the investment you already made and start from scratch. And so the consequence is the change orders are fantastically expensive because they can't be competitively bid. So that means that the fixed price plus change order system, that does not work very well. Right? That's how you get a factor of three in an IT expense overrun. So I don't have a lot of hope in that model.
So that means it gets back to hiring and in a orientation toward having federal staff do the programming.
Yeah, which means every agency, right? The Commerce Department, the Treasury Department, every one of those things needs to have a lot of its own development. That's not the model that the administration is currently pursuing. This is not meant to blame the administration. I understand they are constrained by statute, but this is not going to address that need.